I'm Jason Epperson. This is RV Miles, and it's time for the latest in RV and camping news. Welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year. First up, now that they have actually been implemented, we finally have some clarity on how the new non-US resident fees and passes will work at national parks and how those new digital national park passes will work. Starting back on January 1st, foreign visitors face new fees when visiting national parks. The America the Beautiful annual pass, which covers visitation to national parks, but also all sorts of other public lands in the U.S., not just national parks like national forests and Bureau of Land Management land, it remains $80 for U.S. residents, the America the Beautiful pass. And a new $250 annual pass for non-residents has been implemented. And resident and non-resident is the language used, not citizen versus non-citizen. So when you enter a national park, anyone over 16 years old in the vehicle may be required to show a photo ID proving residency. So not just the person driving the car with the pass, you might all need to be showing an ID. Acceptable documents include a U.S. passport, state or territory issued driver's license or state ID, or a permanent residence card, a green card. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen every time, but everyone in the car should be prepared to show an ID. If you've got a 16-year-old, make sure they bring an ID with them, or else they may require you to upgrade your $80 annual pass or pay the $100 non-resident surcharge that's being charged in addition at 11 of the most popular national parks: Acadia, Bryce Canyon, Everglades, Glacier, Grand Canyon, Grand Teton, Rocky Mountain, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon, Yellowstone, Yosemite, and Zion. And we do have some more info about that $100 non-resident fee. It is, in fact, per person over 16 years old, not per car. So a group of four from Canada entering Yosemite National Park would pay the $35 entrance fee plus $400, and that would get you entrance for a week. If you have the $250 non-resident pass, however, it will cover that surcharge. So for most foreign visitors, it's going to make sense to get the $250 non-resident pass. The most common question that I have not had the answer to since this all was announced was if a non-resident bought the annual pass for $80 in 2025. So say you bought one in November, would they still be able to use it until it expires? The answer is yes. The Park Service says a valid annual pass purchased before January 1st will be valid for non-residents, and the pass will cover the $100 non-resident fees for anyone traveling in the pass holder's vehicle. Anyone traveling with the pass holder on two motorcycles or the pass holder and three additional adults if you're entering a park not in a vehicle. So I hope that all makes sense. The new digital annual passes could ease the hassle for planning a park trip, but be warned, you may need to print out the PDF of the pass to have it on hand where cell service is bad or at locations where passes are supposed to be displayed on your dashboard, such as a trailhead parking that's just outside of a park. And it has now been confirmed that you cannot add a physical pass onto your digital pass after the fact. For most heavy travelers, it's still going to be the best to grab a physical America the Beautiful pass instead of the digital version. I recently did a full National Park Pass overview over on our Parkography channel, and I did it just before all of this stuff was announced. So in about the next week or so, I'll be completely redoing that video. And if you have any questions about any of the National Park and Public Lands passes, I'll try to thoroughly cover it all over there. More in a moment, but first, this episode is sponsored by RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. Get a real mattress for your RV instead of the cheap piece of foam that it came with at RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. They sell real mattresses and all the odd sizes RVs require, like short kings, Olympic queens, and odd bunk sizes, different thicknesses, and more. Their mattresses are toxin-free. They're made in their factory in Arizona and shipped to you vacuum sealed wherever you are. You just unwrap them and let them expand. They have a 120-night sleep trial, free shipping, and a limited lifetime warranty. But the best part is that the RV Miles community gets 30% off. It's the best deal they ever offer any day of the year with code RVMiles at RVMattress.com/RVMiles. That's RVMattress.com/RVMiles with the code RVMiles at checkout for 30% off. Campgrounds of America, or KOA, says revenue in its system of more than 500 campgrounds largely remained flat in 2025. Speaking at KOA's annual convention and expo in Raleigh, North Carolina, CEO Toby O'Rourke said total system revenue came in at $494 million, just slightly below 2024 and still well ahead of pre-pandemic levels. That's according to an article from our friends over at Woodall's Campground Magazine. I'll link to the full article in the description. KOA also continued to grow its footprint in 2025. The company added 19 new campground conversions, so campgrounds that already existed that were converted to KOAs, its most active year since 2017. They also opened three brand new parks in West Virginia, Ohio, and near Zion National Park in Utah. While more people are trying camping, many are only taking one trip a year, KOA says. Participation is up, but frequency is down, a trend affecting the entire outdoor recreation industry. Looking ahead, KOA is leaning hard into technology and marketing. Over the past 5 years, the company has nearly tripled its tech investment, driving massive traffic to KOA.com and delivering strong returns on digital advertising. O'Rourke also warned that competition is changing fast, with hotel brands like Marriott, Hilton, and Hyatt moving aggressively into outdoor lodging and glamping. And the RV industry posted its shipment numbers for November of 2025. The RV Industry Association's November 2025 survey of manufacturers found that total RV shipments, it's the number of RVs built, not the number of RVs sold, but it's the number of RVs built in that month and then shipped to dealerships, ended the month with 21,424 units, a 9.1% drop compared to November of 2024. Over the course of the first 11 months, total shipments are up 2.7%. That's mostly due to a lot of kind of overbuilding in the early months of 2025. But that's a big drop for November, which follows a smaller drop in October and other drops in July and August. Towable RVs led by conventional travel trailers ended the month down 8.5%, and motorhomes finished the month down 13.5%. Following a recent city council vote, Ingram, Texas has banned RVs from floodways, a move city officials say is aimed squarely at preventing future loss of life. The new rule directly affects two RV parks along the river, HTR TX Hill Country Campground and Riverside RV Park. That decision follows the deadly July 4th flooding that killed 40 people at HTR Hill Country. City officials say conditions at Riverside RV Park were also dangerous during that storm, with floodwaters rising several feet, even though no deaths occurred there. Ingram's code enforcement officer, who himself survived the flood, said the ban is about eliminating known high-risk situations. City officials acknowledged to the NBC San Antonio affiliate that there was some pushback from at least one park owner, but they say the ordinance is necessary to reduce the danger to RV residents during future flood events. Satellite internet provider Starlink closed out 2025 touting major growth. The service added more than 4.6 million new customers last year, expanding into 35 additional countries and territories and bringing its total user base to about 9.2 million worldwide. For people who travel beyond the reach of traditional internet providers, Starlink is now available in 155 markets, including many rural and remote areas where wired broadband simply doesn't exist. SpaceX says Starlink also provided onboard internet to more than 21 million airline passengers and 20 million cruise passengers in 2025. One of the biggest developments is Starlink's direct-to-cell network. SpaceX has connected over 12 million people at least once, with primarily text messaging in places where little or no cell service exists. Direct-to-cell is now active in 22 countries across six continents. SpaceX also says it will begin lowering the orbits of about 4,400 Starlink satellites in 2026 as a proactive move to improve space safety and reduce long-term debris risks. Right now, those satellites orbit at about 342 miles above Earth. Over the course of the year, SpaceX plans to gradually lower them to around 298 miles. According to the company, compressing Starlink's operating orbits reduces the chances of collisions and ensures satellites fall out of orbit much faster if they do fail. One key reason for the move is the sun. As the solar cycle heads toward its next solar minimum, expected around 2030, Earth's upper atmosphere becomes thinner. That means satellites can linger in orbit much longer after failure. By operating at a lower altitude, SpaceX says the dead satellite would naturally deorbit in months instead of years, cutting the risk of long-term space junk, a problem that may be increasing with the massive increase of low Earth orbit satellites in the past few years, most of which are Starlink satellites. Starlink's active constellation now includes nearly 9,400 operational satellites. SpaceX says only two non-functional satellites are currently in orbit. For Starlink users on the ground, SpaceX says the orbit changes should be invisible with no impact to service quality. There may be a mild improvement in some areas, but don't expect much. Finally, RV show season is here. The early days of the year are the slow season at dealerships for RV sales, and slow season means show season. We are about to head to Tampa for the big Florida RV Super Show that runs January 14th through the 18th. Abby and I will be there on the 14th and 15th to bring you all the latest from the show. If you'll be there, I hope you'll say hello. If not, watch this space for all the developments. Tampa is often a place where a lot of new RVs and new RV gear is announced. Quartzsite Arizona is once again filling up with RVers ahead of the 2026 Quartzsite Sports Vacation and RV Show, running January 17th through the 25th. What's normally a town of fewer than 2,500 residents swells dramatically each winter as travelers settle into RV parks and nearby Bureau of Land Management land for weeks at a time. Unlike traditional RV shows, Quartzsite's big tent is packed with vendors offering upgrades like solar, lithium suspension, and hitchwork, along with daily live music and food vendors. Make sure to follow our friends Tony and Peggy at Stressless Camping for all the updates from Quartzsite. And then the Kansas City RV Show runs Friday, January 23rd through Sunday, the 25th. Abby and I will be on hand Saturday to present free seminars on camping in national parks, gear and gadgets we love, and great Midwest camping destinations. Come see the 37 RV Miles, our collaboration with Sabre Fifth Wheels, and all of the other RVs there. That's it for this week's RV and Camping News Roundup. Thanks so much for being here. If you got something out of this episode, hit the like button. If you want more like it, subscribe. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.